Hello friends, we will now study chapter 3, International Marketing and the Dynamics. It covers essentially political dynamics, economic dynamics, various risk related dynamics. So we will have a comprehensive idea. Now what is this? Let's start understanding. Now countries are when actively seeking opportunities, you know, they want to explore various global opportunities. They have to like not only have right product, right pricing, etc. And their product should reach out, overcoming the barriers. So like in the domestic market where business environments are relatively stable, you always feel stable where you are. And it is predictable because we know how things work within country, home country, so to say. Vis-a-vis the international market where we are not aware of dynamics, we are not aware of various consumer behaviors and various other aspects, both things are quite challenging. So that's why it is very essential to understand. Each country, therefore, we have to look at it from the point of view of the political framework, their legal frameworks, various regulatory frameworks, and risks related to those countries. Now, government, when you come, political, the first thing that generally happens is, in the interest of industry, they may have a certain policy which is not encouraging import into their country, or they impose tariff to protect their local industry, etc. They may have certain regulations, they may have certain compliances to be fulfilled. All aspects are impacting the other party who is to enter into that country. Now, the second thing is stability of the government. When stable government is there, following particular horizon and following particular direction, they give you policy stability. Okay, they therefore give you trade agreement stability. There will be diplomatic relationship that will really build and flourish, that will help you overcome obstacles very easily. Now, if this is not there, you can visualize how turmoilful the working environment could be there. Legal framework is also very important, because you have invested money and you have created a product. What if somebody just, you know, takes away and starts making it counterfeit, or start making it locally at a much cheaper rate, etc. Intellectual property rights, various things, the data that is generated, you know, when you get into e-commerce and mobile, this thing, or the digital platforms, etc. How all these things needed to be protected. So those are the aspects which get covered. So we will be studying them one by one out here in this particular chapter. So first we start with political and legal environment in international marketing. So we'll understand various facets of it. Key political factors affecting international marketing. So what really adversely impacts, that's how I'll put it. So it's like a government stability and policy. So that's a stability of the government, and the kind of a policy that they pursue is very important. Like when in India, I remember the major change of government has happened. Coca-Cola was made to withdraw from our country. Okay, you new generation probably may not know, but they have to close everything and leave our country, because the new government was not in encouraging for more mood to promote international companies working in our country. So this is what I just gave you an idea. Here Venezuela led in, I impact is, example is taken, where there's a lot of instability, high inflation they have in 3-4 digits, you know. So that's what, how the multinational company like Pepsi or Kellogg's can consider doing business. So they, beyond point, it was difficult for them. So they have to also scale down. Trade agreement and tariffs. So we have understood various aspect of it. So like there are regional trade agreements are shaping it up. Some of them is mentioned out here. Now they may reduce barriers into particular region and may create a more better opportunity for you to tap those market. At the same time, due to this particular thing, if there is some other counter measures being imposed on you, then your ability to do business in other market may get severely affected. So now it becomes a trade-off for you. So that's what you have to understand. bureaucracy and corruption, excessive red tapism, like earlier India was a license raj, that was a word that was used in our era, I remember. Bribery was at its peak, corruption related matter was coming on and off regularly. All this impacts ease of doing business and entire operational cost gets adversely impacted, and the risk still remains high because here you are not sure as to what way the things will swing. Last is the political risk and foreign relations. So when trade sanctions, embargoes, etc., and diplomatic tensions are created, the foreign relations also becomes rigid, and as a result it may be very difficult to overcome certain hurdles. As a result, doing the international business gets more tougher. After political, let's understand key legal factors. So trade laws and import export regulations. So every company has certain rules and laws regarding doing business fundamentally. Okay, it's doing business applicable to home country as well as if you go abroad. But even doing a home country business, there are certain trade laws that you have to follow. Not only that, there are certain import-export related laws. So like, for example, India restricted palm oil import from Malaysia, okay, which has disturbed the supply chain for the edible oil industry. So that's how legal certain stand taken by a country may impact certain business. Intellectual property right, IPR, much debated subject matter in India because we are considered as very weak. But yes, we are doing our own best, and we are trying to now bring a lot of legal aspect to this IPR, trademarks, etc. And we are trying to protect them and giving them the protection against any imitations and all. Example, Louis Vuitton aggressively enforces his trademark to combat counterfeit in China, Thailand, etc. Okay, so they themselves bring it to the law enforcing agencies, notice who's producing counterfeit, etc. And then they file case so that the legal action can be taken. So they can be apprehended. Otherwise, law says unless there is no complaint, no apprehension. So this onus is taken by Louis Vuitton itself, and then they make the law to apply and people are captured. Advertising and consumer protection laws. Countries have their own way of defending consumer rights, preventing unethical advertisement use, okay, influencing not so right genres. So for example, kids or senior citizens who do not have a right decision making ability, but you still try to sell your product by promoting advertisement to them. So those are the things. So like for example, European Union General Data Protection Regulation impacts your digital marketing strategy. Well, there are rules and regulations about where the data resides, the privacy law, data exchange regulations, etc. Labor laws and employment, that's primarily so important. That's also one of the legal aspects. Nike faced criticisms in 90s due to labor exploitation in Southeast Asian factories. Some news broke out where it was established that how they treat the underage laborer, and how what kind of facilities and that they provide, which is fundamentally not right. So they faced that situation in the past. So this is knowing about the legal aspect that one should be aware about while entering international market. Coming to now, what we are understanding is political legal challenges in the global market. So what are the challenges that you have to face? Sudden policy shift. Government 5 years, 7 years encourage foreign direct investment. Suppose they have allowed higher percentage of investment in certain industry. Tomorrow, due to some pressure, they go back. They create restrictions for foreign fund flow. They create restrictions for certain industry where the foreign equity cannot exceed more than certain things, etc. So now this will impact all the existing investor as well as the new investor will get scared to come in. Legal discrepancies, variations in law across countries, and standardization not available. So various difficulties that you will also as a face, as a businessman. So that's another one. Nationalism and protectionism. So some country prioritize local business. So that was exactly happened when Coca-Cola was asked to wind up and go back, where emphasis was to see that Indian manufacturer interest is protected. Okay, so that's the nationalism and protectionism. So one case study I would like to quickly touch upon, that is Huawei Global Expansion Challenge. That's a company which is into the communication. Okay, and US has imposed a trade sanction banning Huawei from sourcing American technologies. So several countries, including India, have restricted Huawei's participation in 5G infrastructure rollout in our country. This company was there, was participating, then it was brought out that being a China-centric company, then a lot of news broke out that they store data in China, so it is not, you know, in the interest of the company, etc. Lot was written, UN cry, so as a result, India was forced to make them not participate in the bidding itself to roll out 5G infrastructure in India. So this naturally has impacted their global expansion, as you can see. Though they are world leader, but growth momentum and all would have decreased. EU's import sector regulations regarding data security, where the data privacy, where the data has to reside, etc. That also impacted UI's expansion across European Union, etc. So internationally, therefore, UI has to modify its market strategy. So they have to get into alternative technology and diversify their supply base. Some of their own policies of data storage, etc. also they have to relook. But all this thing created a drag. That is what I'm trying to establish through this example. Now we learn the second part, which is political and legal environment. Yeah, this is a very important dimension now. And we have studied broadly, we have understood the kind of impact that political, legal environment and economic environment, etc. does have in general. Now we are going to study them in two parts. One is home country impact, that is the country where your original business resides, and then we will study the same thing from the host country point of view, that is the place where your international market is, that is the place where your international business is operating. So first we start with the home country impact, that is a place where your current business is residing, the country where your current business is residing. Okay. So in the home country political and legal environment, what is the importance of international marketing in global economy? So home country, if encourages exports through regulations and trade policy, then it will help the exporter to really look at exporting more. Government often imposes regulation on international trade to promote local business or protect local interest. Now in that case, there is a restrictions. So for example, US government's Export Administration Regulation, EAR, restricts the exports of certain technologies to countries like China and Russia. So that's a drag on that business. Okay. When there was a shortage of, say, onion in our country, onion export was banned. So one can say it is required. So without getting into that controversial part, I'm just trying to give you export regulation will and the trade policy will have an impact on that host country's business. Government support and incentives. Some government actively support international expansion through export subsidies, tax benefit and financial aid. So we are also doing it, and likewise to do that, they encourage exporter to take risk. So have them risk capital given, have them various subsidy given, give them income tax, you know, rebate period, holiday, you know, for a few years, 5 years, no income tax. So likewise, various financial assistance and also Indian government Make in India, a much touted initiative, currently in that phase where it has picked it up, provides financial incentive to domestic manufacturers. So if you set up a company in India, this is what all you get. So that's how under that Make in India scheme, government encouraged Apple to come to India and set up the cell manufacturing facility. That is Foxconn, so to say. Sanctions and trade embargoes. A home country may impose certain sanctions or trade restrictions on specific nation due to diplomatic or geopolitical reason. Could be anything, limiting international marketing opportunity. So right now, say we are at loggerhead with our neighboring country like Pakistan, Bangladesh, etc. So it impacts the opportunity of doing more business out there. Example here given is the US sanctions on Cuba and Iran when they were told to disarm themselves from the nuclear, you know, or a nuclear atom bomb making activity, etc. So American company like Coca-Cola and McDonald's faced restrictions in entering this market. So due to sanctions, government was not allowing them to go there. So this is how the sanctions and trade embargoes impact home country businessmen. Importance of internet marketing. So another one is the intellectual property right, IP protection. Strong IP laws in the home country. If it is available, it protects your legal right. You are protected very well. Your trademark is protected. Your patents are protected. Okay. Your copyrights are protected. And when it is so, you feel free to go out and promote your work. Example, Apple's patent protection in the US. So they are so well protected. So today, Apple do not mind going and producing the product elsewhere in the country, elsewhere in the world, so to say. So this is what is the power of home country backing up your intellectual property right. Foreign exchange control and taxations at the home country. Home country regulations on currency conversion, profit repatriation, means transferring the profit to your foreign parent company, etc. And international taxation related matter impact not only your pricing strategy, finance availability, and therefore financial decisions in the international marketing. India's Foreign Exchange Management Act, FEMA. You would have heard that many businessmen get caught under FEMA irregularities. Okay, so that's what managing the foreign exchange through a control, restricting people, okay, so that fund is not, you know, Indian currency is not flushed outside the country, okay, and thereby devaluing the Indian economy. So these are various ways. So this is a home country aspect that we saw. Home country's political and legal environment, that is what we are trying to study, and various aspects we have studied so far. So SWOT analysis. Now I'm trying to connect the framework called SWOT, strength, weakness, opportunity, and threat. SWOT analysis takes into consideration both internal and external factor that would drive the marketing strategy of the organizations. Because in the SWOT, strength and weakness refers to internal aspect of the organization. Opportunities and threat refers to external factors, not in your control. So all those political and economic factors, that aspect that we saw, comes under either opportunity or threat based on the change that has been proposed. The marketer cannot ignore external factors, that is political and environmental, or so to say the pest analysis that we have discussed earlier. Even a firm based in its home country would be impacted by the political and legal policies of the government directly or indirectly. So for example, Microsoft Corporation will not only impacted by their home country if USA today takes certain stand or there is an instability in the US policies, okay, but also by the political stability in India. So Microsoft will get impacted both ways. Uncertainty, instability in their parent or the home country, which is US, versus host country, that is India. So they get impacted both ways. Government initiative. So now government gives certain focus areas and the thrust to it. So like for the tourists here in the program, we have discussed the tourism as a one. So take this as a learning example, not as only example. you may consider this for other industries. Like here the tourism is taken, where Incredible India, if you know, that was entire program was developed. Now further, there is a plan, there is a recent pointer that I am given you. Already 50 major new tourist destinations are identified under Swadesh Darshan 2 and Prasad schemes. That is the second type of a program government has done, where foreigners can come under Swadesh Darshan 2. They will have a lot of benefits. Or Prasad scheme, where you go to religious temples and this thing, etc. Regional connectivity scheme, RCS, that is UDAN, under which government gives a very subsidized airfare, and they have opened many regional air connectivity airports where small aircrafts can fly. Thereby they have created not only the connectivity, but they have offered a subsidized scheme due to which tickets are very economical for even lower middle class to afford. So likewise, they can also dream of flying into the aircraft. 36 additional new tourist spots are getting developed, identified and under development. Okay. So you see how that political will and various economic aspects impact international marketing. Various marketing and promotions are being done. Various roadshows are done abroad, which is for the Incredible India campaign. Visa on arrival, VOA, that is reforms on the visa policy. Now, we are giving 43 nations visa on arrival, no prior visa requirements. We have offered political stability, and trade embargoes and sanctions. So, like, we have minimal trade embargoes and sanctions as of now, unless we are compelled by other countries' act. So, our home country political environment today is fairly sound, one can say. Initiatives. So, besides political stability, management of exports has been encouraged. So, there are a lot of export promotion related support is given. Roadshows are getting conducted with the help of the export promotion councils, etc. In other countries. Roadshows means they go to the other country and promote one particular product industry or our export potential, multi-product, multi-industry, whichever way. So, what are the essential elements of effective export control system? So, let's understand that. We offer comprehensive control. So, what we are trying to understand is export control system. There is a comprehensive control. We know certain goods cannot go much outside the India, certain this thing we should promote. So, that's what has been clearly listed. Implementive directives are getting simplified and simplified so that people are able to understand, comprehend and apply what has been offered to them. A lot of enforcement power and penalties are also, however, being in place so that people do not think of cheating the authority. Intra-agency coordination. Earlier, it was a big headache. Now, under the directives of government, this agency proactively coordinate among themselves to see that the export interest is protected, and it has yielded results. You yourself should study India's export performance last at least 7 years. Okay, then only you will realize what we are talking about. Okay, international cooperation. So we go on its our own and go and identify a country, talk to their relevant government bodies, etc. And we seek the support to introduce our products and services out there. Protection against government dissemination of sensitive business information. So here another rule is there where sensitive information to the country and the government cannot be released. Okay, under the disguise of anything. So even that rules and regulations are in place so that one should resist or desist out of doing such things in the name of whatever. Okay, so that's a home and political country environment under which we just studied few pointers for essential elements of effective export control. So let's quickly see that government initiatives we are now trying to understand. Management of imports. Okay, so how do they manage imports? Imports of goods could be restricted by a country. country can restrict by way of levying duties and tariffs, which is higher than the other, okay, and higher than the other product category. Put a quota restrictions. Palm oil can be not exceeding 100 million tons. So the moment that threshold is reached, new import will not be allowed. Sugar import not exceeding 20 tons. So then that's how I'm just giving an example. So you put a quota, limit of availability of foreign exchange currency. You withdraw the supply for giving foreign currency. So that is happening by way of you cannot, transfer at any given point of time more than so much of an Indian rupee or a dollar for a period or so and so, etc. So that will restrict your buying, right? So a list of restricted goods, declare certain goods as a restricted goods so that they cannot be imported. So these are government initiatives. Some others are the tariffs. You import or increase the tariff so that goods will become costly when they land in your country. Quota system, we have studied, you declare a quota, okay, so that when the quota is fulfilled, no more business. So how India is balancing itself? Focus on strategic and sensitive sectors. That is, we are now very focused with a lot of market dynamics and research. We are able to pinpoint the sector of interest, okay, and sensitivity of various sectors. So either we restrict investment in sensitive or not so viable, not allowing participation in the project. So that UI example that I gave you, boosting alternative supply chain. So diversifying the trade participation, strengthening ties with Vietnam for manufacturing, Japan, Taiwan for electronic and industrial goods, reducing dependency on China. Likewise for lithium and this thing, when the Ukraine war happened, we have opened the doors for the Korean suppliers. And now that magnet being a very, very scary situation, so we have already, government is considering alternative avenues. So that way you create an alternative supply chain. Okay, so government is already, as I was telling you, China plus strategy. So in almost most business input material, etc., or various ways where you have to have something beyond China. So we are doing that, tightening non-tariff measures. So that also government can do. So non-tariff measures are, as the term suggests, it is not about imposing some duty or tariffs, etc. It is in an operational way trying to discourage. So quality control regime is strengthened. So if your goods do not meet my country's given standard, it gets rejected. So we have elevated the standard set by the Bureau of Indian Standard that India is governed by. So the foreign manufacturer must comply with it. Earlier even inspection was liberal. Now we are getting strengthened. So if you do not comply, your entire consignment gets rejected. So these are those non-tariff measures. Another aspect is political and legal environment, the host country's influence. So we have so far studied the aspect. So friends, now we will study political and legal environment in the host country. As I told you earlier, you have covered home country, that is where your business originally resides, and host country means the international market where you are having your another business, same business you are doing in other country. So let's understand host country's influence. Political stability and government policy obviously attracts more foreign investment. If government is stable, like in India, and policies are business friendly, industrialization friendly, it will see unprecedented flow of foreign direct investment as we are witnessing in India. Example, Tesla's entry into Germany. They chose Germany as its European manufacturing hub due to stable governance, pro-business policies, and strong automotive industry itself. So this is one aspect. Legal system and compliances in the host country, that is the country in which you are doing your business, international border. Each country has unique legal framework. We have studied all this, which governs the operation of the business, which impacts the advertising, protects consumer in its own way, taxation, foreign money transfer, intellectual property right, all this impacts the business, the businessmen trying to enter into that country. So Google's antitrust challenge in the EU, Google faced this, you know, they have to face this antitrust challenge by European Union Commission, where they have been, you know, there's a lot of, they've been mentioned that, you know, yes, Google resorts to unethical monopoly driven practices. So this is what happens if you really do not understand or some change that brings the issue before you. So this is like, it's not that Google do not understand, but yes, with the growing voice coming from other quarters of the European Union, they had to undergo this, and the verdict was actually against them. Trade barrier and protectionist policies of the host country, like we have done in host country, you know, home country also does something of that sort. Similarly, host country can do, where they impose tariff or create import quota in their country, or some regulatory barriers or some non-tariff barriers they, you know, levy or apply, which will adversely impact goods being sent to that country. Example, US-China trade war, where ongoing trade war between these both countries resulted in heavy tariffs on goods like smartphones, steel and agriculture products being imposed. So this impacts the international trade or your business in that host country. Intellectual property right and patent protection, we have seen that it has to be essentially strong, implementable, enforceable. So brands, your manufacturing, your product copyright or your technology patents, etc., are protected if once you enter into that country. So luxury brands fighting counterfeits in China, like Louis Vuitton, Rolex, etc., that I've seen, you know, where they have to take proactive stance, you know, report the matter to the legal authority, and then only they take the action against, etc. So these are the certain aspects that you should be aware about the host country. Advertising, where they will have certain rules, there are very stringent rules about influencing children or, you know, senior citizens or mentally instable individuals, etc. So that governs your advertisement, your promotion, your tone of communication, etc. McDonald's has to adjust its language in Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia enforces strict advertising guidelines concerning the gender representation and cultural sensitivity. McDonald's was found to be flouting on that, and therefore they have to change that. So we enter into the new section, political risk in the international markets. We will understand it in a generic manner. Policy and regulatory changes. So host country frequently revise trade policies. So this is from the point of view of international market, obviously means the host countries. Like you are talking about, we are talking about so-called political risk in the international market means host countries, where we have studied so far, you know, already, like trade policy, taxation, trade barriers, labor law, industry regulations, etc., are done to protect the domestic industry. Like for example, in India, FDI rule for e-commerce in 2019, India introduced new foreign direct investment regulation restricting global e-commerce player like Amazon and Walmart own Flipkart from selling private label brands and offering exclusive deals. So they have to comply with it. Okay. Even in the data protection, India has imposed that the data has to reside in India, which many people at that point of time cried about it. They said we will not comply with it. But when government went into implementation mode, this company has abided by them. So this is what happens. Nationalization versus government intervention. Some government, especially in resource-rich and strategic industry, may seize the foreign asset and impose heavy restrictions or demand local partnership to increase domestic control. So they want a control not to go out of country or out of their hand. So for example, telephone regulation in Egypt during 2011 Egyptian revolution, the government ordered telephone companies like Vodafone to shut down services. Okay, so this is like kind of a sudden jerk which can come in. So this is a risk that you carry. Social and cultural sensitivity, political risk can also arise from various social, religious and cultural factors affecting business that fail to align with local sentiments. KFC's vegetarian strategy in India, okay, versus in other part of the world. So this is what one has to take into account. What we now going to study is the types of political risk in the international market now. So first is the type is a geopolitical conflicts and trade war. So tension between countries can lead to trade restrictions, tariff hikes, business embargoes, non-tariff structures, etc. being imposed. So example, like due to Russia-Ukraine war, McDonald's has to shut down all 850 outlets in Russia in 2022. Currency and economic risk. Political instability also leads to devaluation of currency because it's a matter of sound economic growth versus the stability that you offer. If politically you are unstable, your power of your money to attract more, this thing goes down. Hyperinflation, if the inflation is not under control, the buying becomes very difficult for the same unit. What maybe the 2 year, 3 year before price will be exceedingly very high now. So like capital control policies, you restrict investment of capital or beyond certain percentage, etc. This will all impact the foreign interest in your business. So example, capital control in Nigeria, restrictions on repatriating profit. So they restricted, the company cannot send certain percentage and beyond profit to their parent company. So that made for multinational company difficult to transfer the due earning to their parent company. It saved Nigeria from allowing more money being drained out of their country, but it has its own pitfalls, so to say. So how do you get into mitigating political risk in the international market? How will you minimize its impact? So scenario planning and market research. So you have to constantly do scenarios. You have to visualize what if kind of scenario. Conduct thorough market research to derive any upcoming threats and have a identification of the risk already taken. Once you have that, you can get into mitigation part. Diversification of supply chain. So make yourself, do not depend on single source. So have more than one supply chain, which is what many Indian companies are now doing. They have done it during Ukraine war, but still we gave up somewhere. So we have not really looked deeper. As a result, we are stuck now with the magnet supply. If we would have learned lesson at that time, by now we should have already identified alternative sources. Local partnership and joint ventures. Instead of risking, make the local person a partner. So that's a local partnership. Or create a joint venture. So they have both licensing clout, they know the market, they have economy understanding of their country. So they will protect the business if they are in joint venture with you. So this is also another way to mitigate. Political lobbying and corporate diplomacy. So this is what we say licensing or engaging with the government agency, influencing policy makers, not influencing like adversely, but making them understand what is impacting the growth so that they take a right decision during next policy review. Legal safeguards and insurance protections like bilateral investment treaties, BITs as it's known as, and political risk insurance to mitigate the loss that you will incur in case of a political turmoil. So this is also a way to safeguard. So we have understood a couple of mitigating strategies to minimize risk arising out of political risk in the international market. So now